Welcome to the science track of this year's DevConf. My name is Michael Bank, and I'm organizing this. I just want to say hi to everybody who came here and hopefully back home on the streams. There's a wiki page for the Debian Science and Math track at DevConf 10, which I just put up there. It's wiki.debconf.org, wiki DevConf track science. And we have an IRC channel on irc.debian.org /debconf-interschool, where you can also, if you're well here or outside of DebConf, you can ask questions for the talks. So I hope the stream is working. And what we can also do, and I will put up the schedule in a second, is using Gobby for gobby.debian.net. I put up a DC10-science-track channel. There's no content yet, and I'm the only one, but if people want to join and we can collaboratively take notes of the tracks, you need Gobby 0.5 for that, so might be a problem if you're running Lenny. I will soon hand over, but just saying that we got a couple of slots and we split them up. So first Sylvester will introduce Debian science, and David will introduce Debian math in the first slot, and maybe David can also summarize a bit the math buff that just happened in the morning if there's time left. And then on the second slot, go back to the program on the second slot. Michael Hanke and Jaroslav Halchenko will present Debian from two perspectives: Debian, the ultimate platform for neuroimaging research. And at 4 p.m., we will have a split slot for new developments in data science packaging. So Adam Powell will talk about MPI packaging. Sylvester Ledru will talk about linear algebra libraries, packaging, and Jaroslav Halchenko and Michael Hanke will talk about citation reference infrastructure. And then at the end, we will have a Debian Science Roundtable. So any questions or things that came up during this, or we can also try to flesh out the agenda during the track, we will discuss then. And if there's anything left, we can still schedule impromptu BOFs tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. I want to thank all the people who are contributing to the track, and with no further ado, I'll hand over to Sylvester.
So, thank you. So I'm going to talk about Debian science because many things happened during the last 2 years. So basically here it's a series of screenshots of various things we packaged lately. I'm going to talk about that a bit deeper later. So first, where I am, I won't bother you about that. I'm just working for Scilab. If I do some advertising about Scilab, it's normal. This is basically what I'm paid for. I'm a Debian developer for 1 year, and I've been a DM for 3 years before. I'm mainly involved in science and Java, and here we are. First, I'd like to explain what is Debian science, because it is pretty unclear from the point of view you are looking at what is Debian science. So first, what I'm working on mainly is a team Debian science, so it is hosted at Alliot. There are about 70 people registered to this project. We are basically have 130 packages, and the main list is the one I'm you can see on the screen. So it's debian-science@least.debian.org. After that, Debian can also be seen as other teams, because some people have been working on specific science field for the last few years. So one of the biggest is DebianMed. It's It's mainly managed by Andrea. Hello, Andrea, because he's probably watching us. And Charles Plessy. So they are packaging a lot of packages for a while. Another team is also Debian. Okay, I think it's mainly Michael's work. It's about chemistry in Debian. And the last one, I'm going to talk about that a bit deeper later, is Package Science Comp. It's mainly about numerical computing. So it used to be 60 packages, now it's 30, it's normal. This is what we are trying to do. So the goal of Debian Science, or the Debian Science team, here I'm talking mainly about the team. So the goal is to package the best software and libraries in these different fields. So there are many, many pretty good Swiss software releasing, because on my point of view, at least, from my R&D project manager, I can see that government like Europe and France, because the two stuff I know pretty well, they are pretty happy to give money to finance free software project in science. And it's very common that the French government is giving a lot of money to finance free project. So we are trying to reach the same level as quality as proprietary software. I know it's not the case in other free software area, where free software are better, for example, Apache and so on. But in science software, they usually were a bit less good, because proprietary software are very expensive. For example, a MATLAB license with an extension called Simulink is about 18,000 euro per license, per computer. So it's pretty expensive. So corporation and state are happy to finance. So we are starting to get more and more very high quality software, which are usable for a Lambda user, not for an IT guy or something like that. So we are trying also to create, to package things in various sectors of science, so like math, physics, simulation, modelization, and so on. And one of the things which is pretty important, and we talk a lot about that this morning, is to create some kind of glue. So how you can call one software from the other, how you can do that, how you can manage such thing. The two first examples that you can see on the screen is Salome and Codaster. I'm going to talk about a bit deeper about these two software, because they are pretty important in France and in Europe, because they are produced by EDF, which is one of the most big corporations in the world about nuclear. So they've got a lot of money to work on this. Other things in the Debian science that we try to do, and I'm doing that on a daily basis in France, is connect people. So it's important to, when you know that some people are working on this software and others are working on something similar, just to put them in touch. You never know what can happen. Sometimes it will take 2 or 3 years. It is basically what happened with Salome packaging. But sometimes people start to work together and produce some amazing results. And also, we are trying to educate. I don't really like the word educate, but we are trying to explain to upstream how distribution are working. We all had one package once where the upstream was included sources just because it is so convenient for them. But for us, it is very boring, so it is a lot of work. So we are trying to explain them why they should not include third-party sources into their base code and so on. And also, we are trying to make them understand that it is very important for us that they accept our patch. So for example, if their building system is broken, it's very important for the future maintenance that they accept our patch as soon as possible. Otherwise, it will get very boring to update when they are doing a new release, which is fantastic, but they change everything inside. Then I'm going to talk about the history of Debian Science. The basic start was done by Andreas when he started to do CDD. It used to be custom Debian distribution. He started that a long time ago, and now it is called Debian Blends. So it is, for me, it is really the start of Debian Science. By this, I mean the creation of the basic packaging tools and environment and community around this into Debian. And after that, thanks to Andreas' support, we started to I'm going to explain quickly what is Blends, because I realize that not everybody knows what it is. It is my understanding of Blends, because it's not very obvious to understand. It is just to put together and reference all scientific software. Don't hesitate to interrupt me if I'm wrong or if I'm missing things. But it is basically in one field. We are trying to reference all the good software which are in the archive, but also the one we want to package in the future. So if I see a great software, but I don't have time to package it, I will put it into a task file of Blend, saying, oh, this one should be packaged, here it is, what is the description, and so on. So it really helps to reference what are the scientific software, the free scientific software that we could package, and that's it. So we created the team on Halyot in the beginning of 2008. Now, as I say, we are more than 70 people. We are packaging about 130 packages. Manuel Prince and I, we wrote a policy in mid-2008. So the policy is very standard, so we are not seeing much. And it's pretty outdated, so if some people want to help on this, to update it and to make it more 2010, it will be nice. So I'm going to quickly talk about a few work we've done in the science team. So one of the first one is work on MPI stuff. I'm not going into the detail because Adam is going to do that later, but MPI is basically a norm and many vendors are implementing this norm. And we in Debian, we had a lack of coordination around the various MPI implementations. So we started to address this issue. It's not over because we have some migration to do, but it's going pretty well. The linear algebra, excuse me, I'm going to do a talk later, but it's pretty much the same thing. Various implementation and lack of coordination and work on this. OpenCascade, the work has been done mainly by Denis Barbier, and I think Adam helped pretty much. It is a huge library to do CAO conception assisted by computer. This is in French, sorry. And it is a huge library, really, which is widely used in France in some important projects. We have also PowerView, which is the visualization tool. So we package a huge software, which is called Saturn. So you can see that Cyril is interesting in this. As I said previously, EDF is one of the world leaders in energy. And they develop many software to manage the nuclear power plant in France. In France, we've got something like 65 power plant, nuclear power plant. It's the top country in nuclear. And since it is very expensive, they decided to extend the life period of about 10 to 20 years for each nuclear plant. So they had a strong need of numerical computing software to do some simulation on degradation of the component of the nuclear power plant. So they developed many, many different software, and they released as free and open source software a lot of them, like Code Saturn, Code Aster, Salome. Those software are high quality, they are widely used, and they are starting to be more and more used in France and in Europe. So we decided to package this one. And especially because the response from upstream was very good. When I've been in touch with them, they were saying, oh, okay, it would be great to have this into Debian, because they all are using Debian, the researcher, and they are very interested to know what is a good way to package the scientific software. So we help them a lot to know what is the right thing to do, how to package the scientific software, what are the auto tools, auto make, and so on. And they have been applying a lot of patch, and they've been very, very reactive on the various bug reports we submitted on their software. Okay. So here is one of the results. So it is a CFD, so computation fluid dynamics. They are basically, here the example is, it is into a pipe, we are injecting some CO2, some helium, and we are doing some strong computation. This software can run on clusters, so MPI, can run also on my laptop. And here it is rendering done by PowerView, which is another software which is available in Debian Science. So we can do some pretty amazing stuff in this with this software. If some people are interested, I've got some video and so on. So one other work is Salome. It is also an EDF software that Adam started to package about 2 or 3 years ago. But the upstream response was pretty bad. Usually they didn't reply to any emails, and Adam had about 50 patches. So we say, okay, what can we do? It will be too hard to maintain because there are about 20 or 30 people working on this project. So they are releasing very oftenly and they are changing a lot of things. So the patch usually cannot apply from a version to the other. So what we did basically, thanks to Logilab, which is a small French corporation working on Python mainly, we started a collaboration with Adam and Logilab and EDF, because we know the people are from EDF, and we educated them basically. So we had a long meeting explaining them how important it is to include upstream downstream patches into their distribution and so on. So they've been very interested. It is very funny to see the contrast 3 years ago and now, because now they are very happy about the inclusion of their software into Debian. So now it is already available. This one is more internal to Debian. As I said previously, we basically have got four teams working on science in Debian. One of them is the Package Science Comp. There is a strong overlap between the two teams. It's not very easy for a newcomer, for someone who is already involved in Debian but not in scientific field, to understand and to know where is the best place to put this packet. So we had some confusion. We also had some issue about cross mailing list discussion. Some packets in Debian Science are based on some library into the other distribution. And also the maintainer of this group does not have too much time. So we decided to merge them. But it is a very long work and there is a lot of inertia. So the status for now of the merge is basically we had 51 packages, now we are 33. Some of them are already changed from Package Science Comp to the other one, but we still need to upload the packages. We don't want to upload this for nothing. And it is a very slow process, because nobody wants to upload a package for nothing. So the Debian Science team needs some help. So as I said, as the DPL said, fixing RC bug is funny. We should also, and I think I'm not the only one who is interested in this, update some documentation on our website, on our wiki, about the various teams that we've got, because it is a very strong confusion for people coming into Debian to see that we've got four teams. The wiki is not very clear about that. We've got plenty of pages. So I think we really should work together to clean up this mess and to show on the world that we are pretty clear about what we want to do in science. So the merge obviously has to be finished. We still have some migration to do about the MPI. I hope we will be able to do it on Squeeze, but some maintainer of third-party libraries are not very helpful for now. And as Andrea said previously on IRC, we still need some help on Blend Science to update everything, because it's a long walk. And also some screen shooting. So some open discussions that I like to have, maybe we can do that later at the open discussion, but one of the things I would like to highlight is the confusion that we've got on the mailing list. We've got Debian Science, and we've got the Debian Science maintainer. And I'm afraid that the first mailing list is too focused for now on packaging aspect and should be more for the user of the packages we've got. And maybe switch the discussion we've got about packaging or requests for sponsor and so on the Debian maintainer. For the time being, the second one is not very used, so we should maybe do something. And finally, as I said previously, create a hub. So on Debian, on the website, maybe say, okay, if you want to work on chemistry or in the medical aspect, here is a team, and so on. So maybe we should do some more advertising and so on the Debian website. So your turn, David.
Okay.
Well, maybe if there's some questions.
Take questions now.
Yeah. Yes, thanks for your talk first.
You're welcome.
Is it okay? I can just hand it over. Is there any questions? Well, I got a question. Does Debian Science maintainers list, does it right now get all the bug traffic and that kind of stuff, or where
yeah,
is that going?
Does. But we could change that. It's no.
Okay.
Or we could create another one.
Mm. Right.
So you, I guess you.
Because that sometimes is sort of like an issue that people get flooded with that kind of stuff. But okay, on the other hand, they should probably read it anyway.
Yeah.
Well. Okay.
But for now, it's not too noisy. I think we've got about one or twice per day, something like that. We don't receive many bugs. Except when Cyril or Luca are launching many builds and reporting 2,000 bugs in one day.
And the upload notifications and that kind of stuff also goes. Upload notifications?
Yeah.
That thing's also, yeah. Well, okay.
For now, we don't have too much.
Anybody can just filter it out if they want somewhere else. Okay. Is there any other questions? Okay, then we'll... Yes?
Please. So, well,
stand up.
So we are supposed to freeze quite soon. What would be the big things that you would want to do in Squeeze Plus One?
Fixing the in the Squeeze Plus One, package more stuff. No, I'm not answering to your question right now because I'd like to see MPI and Atlas fixed now, not in the Plus One.
That would be nice.
Yeah, but it might be for the next one, especially for MPI. I hope Atlas, I'm going to chat about that and do an upload in the next Tuesday. I hope it's going to be fixed pretty soon. But it is. I'd like to also package more library about linear algebra and start to work on GPU things, which is very fashion these days. So it is something I'd like to do. But I don't have, I haven't saw yet about the N plus one.
Any more questions? Okay, then thank you. And we'll go to the second talk.
Yeah, that's the one. So, I guess it's okay, the mic? Good. So, I guess I'm not sure why Michael asked me. Well, I know why, but let's not talk about that. So anyway, I guess I wanted to give just a little bit different perspective on the rest of the things that, or at least one more aspect of what Debian Science is working on. It's a bit of an umbrella group, and a lot of things in it are numerical, but not everything, and even not everything mathematical in it is numerical. So, so I'm a mathematician, and a Debian maintainer. So it's a bit confusing. We seem to have more discussions than necessary about naming, but anyway, I wanted to settle the topic for my little mini talk here, so we decided what I'm talking about. And there's a lot of intersection between what I'm thinking about as mathematical software and versus what I'm calling numerical software, but you might also think about as scientific computing, and education, actually. There's a lot of overlap. When I use a tool, I tend to use very, I mean, I'm lazy, right? So I use the same tools for teaching and for research when I can, and in particular for making pictures, making material. I think most people are the same way. So, you know, probably tech is the most important piece of scientific software in existence. So, this mathematical software, please accept my definition at least for the next 10 minutes or so, has something in common with a lot of these other efforts that Sylvester is talking about. So in particular, licensing is often an issue with university labs, and my own experience is that academics tend to make eccentric licenses, right? Don't use this software for evil. That kind of well-meaning but in the end counterproductive license is quite common in this domain. We have a lot of old code. Well, two different problems here. So Maxima is very old. It's maintained by Cam McGuire. He's been maintaining it for many years. It's based on GCL. He's also maintaining that. The code in Maxima really goes back to the 60s. So it's older than, I think, most people in this room. SageMath has a different problem, which is that it has convenience copies of most of Debian. In it. I exaggerate a little bit, but... So those are... this embedded libraries problem is a big problem for, I think, maybe everybody packaging, but it feels to me like it's a particular problem for work coming out of academic environments. We're all, and this is one thing I wanted to mention, is that, and it's something that it's one of the interests of the Deviant Science team, is publishing. And I don't mean just getting things in journals, but I mean making nice documents, right? And so this is mostly tech, but also managing bibliographies, which we'll come back to this afternoon, and making pictures. And I suppose not all mathematicians are very interested in high-performance computing, but I am. So there's a group of experimental mathematicians, I would call us, who heat a lot of rooms trying to find particular mathematical objects. So we're searching, usually quite clumsily, some big search space and running SAT solvers and these kinds of things. And so to do that, we get involved with batch. So some of you were at the batch processing bot this morning. So there's some things in common. Some things which are a bit different is that as a mathematician, I publish things in journals claiming things are true based on what my computer tells me. And so if you know anything about floating point arithmetic, you know, you have to be very brave to do something like that based on floating point arithmetic. So I would say GMP is mathematician essential, right? So I don't think that you're really doing computation as a mathematician or GMP or is there any equivalent exact? It's really the standard, right? I mean, it's one area where we don't have a plethora of choices. The other thing that I wanted to mention was that we're pretty interested in non-numerical computation. Symbolic algebra is a topic that came up this morning in the math buff. A lot of people are interested in just because it's a tool, a general tool that many different people use. But also working with objects which are not numbers, so groups and graphs and permutations and other kinds of combinatorial structures. I don't know, maybe Sylvester, you can correct me, but I feel like this is true, right? That there's more Lisp and less Fortran in the codes that I'm... You also have Lisp in this... Well, Scilab, yeah, maybe. I don't know what's going... So, finally, and this comes back to publishing. By mathematical diagramming tools, I mean tools which draw correct diagrams. So, in particular, the picture on the page should really be a 3D projection of whatever you like, and it's not about surface shading, it's about giving, say, equations or something that describe your figure. So that's another aspect. In my work, I think, or at least in the 10 minutes this morning I thought about it, there's really three different ways that I use tools. I think these are all tools in Debian. Part of it is as a software developer, and here I'm using, and we're all using libraries and language systems that are in Debian, to varying degrees of success, right? The temptation to just embed upstream library is there for even those of us who know better. The other thing I think is here there's quite a big overlap with educational use, but I think it's quite interesting because it's not programming, it's doing math. So again, symbolic algebra packages, GAP is a kind of specialized symbolic algebra package. I'm using Haskell. Who here is a Haskell programmer? There's two of us. Yeah, it's like that. Mathematicians love Haskell. Particularly discrete mathematicians. It somehow appeals to something in them. And I'm using Perl because, you know, sometimes Haskell's just too much work, so you need to do something fast. Even for, you know, generating permutations of numbers and so forth, I'm sometimes using Perl for things like that. And I think everything under here I mentioned already, bibliography managing, making pictures. I'm ashamed to say that I only use R for plotting. I should use it for more reasonable things, but it's really good at plotting, so So that part's good. Okay, so I just wanted to give you a bit of a flavor of sort of how Debian supports mathematicians. This morning we talked a bit also about mathematical software, and there was some discussion of gluing things together. I mean that these codes, which are somehow a noble ambition and also a real challenge for Debian, these omnibus packages, right, which depend on many libraries, and Sylvester, you mentioned already, I guess, version. I mean, this problem of upstream requiring particular versions of libraries. And to preempt the question about what do I think about, say, Squeeze plus one, I think if we are lucky, we can get Sage packaged for Squeeze plus one. But it really takes, it's a typical situation where the people who are most involved with creating the libraries and so forth and maintaining the individual libraries are not as motivated to use the glue package that puts them all together. So I think we have a problem pulling together. Well, so far we don't have a team. It's a huge effort, and I think if we want Sage and Debian, there's going to need to be a team to pull that together. And I guess I'm kind of unvolunteering for that. Sorry. Okay, so that's enough from me.
Thank you. Any question, comments?
Quick question. So if you're talking about Sage and you've never mentioned Python, are you going to learn it?
I should have mentioned Python as well. I use Python as well. That was an omission. I use both Python and Perl. I guess on the scale of quick and dirty to must be correct, I go Perl, Python, Haskell.
Also, have you heard about such new, well, it's not new, Fortress?
Heard about it. I don't know much about it.
Okay. Well, besides that, it was owned by Sun as well, to some extent.
Okay. Sylvester?
For information, GMP, you have also another library. It's called MPFR, for Multi-Precision Library, which is based on GMP, but extending it.
Right. GMP is kind of hostile. I don't know what the story is with that.
I don't know exactly, but MPFR now is pretty good, and you can use it to do such tasks, just for information.
Okay.
Isn't it in GCC, or got it out of GCC? I thought it was part
of
GCC.
No, this one is out. It's out. A library. Okay. It's done by the INRI. I wonder if it's not from Nancy, but it is it's pretty good now, and it is in the archive.
Okay.
Can you stand up?
Could you comment on the exotic languages that you mentioned, like the?
Sure, it was in quotes. Yeah, I mean, like, why is Lisp more exotic than Fortran?
Yeah, like for example, I have seen industrial production level codes that run Fortran, and people still develop Fortran. Like, do you mean I don't know what you meant by exotic.
Okay, so how many people here could, if forced, program in Fortran? Okay, now other than knowing there's lots of parentheses, who could write some Lisp?
Not so bad.
It's closer to balanced than I thought. But, I mean, if you look at the people doing numerical algebra and doing high-performance computing, they're working in Fortran and maybe C++, depending on, it's kind of a generational thing. But there's a community of Lisp programmers. I don't deny that, but it's much smaller. And the intersection with scientific computing is relatively small.
Totally forgotten what I'm maintaining. Have you heard about Lush?
Lush, no. Tell me about Lush.
Lush. Lush.
LSH.
L-U-S-H.
I know it's a description of somebody
it's
who drinks too much.
It's a Lisp universal shell, I believe, if I'm not wrong. And it is developed by quite known guys in machine learning.
Okay.
And it was presented in NIPS community for a while. And what its emphasis is to create Lisp-like language, right? Or essentially it's Lisp, but very efficient for numerical computations. They compile modules from C, and it does on-demand compilation.
Okay.
So it's quite cool tool, and they're now maybe already released even Lush 2, which is redesigned in many places. So if someone is really eager, because I'm not using it myself, I even forgotten that I maintain it, but if someone from Debian could co-maintain it or even pick it up, that would be more beneficial for Debian, and it's quite cool thing.
So maybe the way to put it is, who would rather program in Lisp than in Fortran?
How about Fortran?
I don't know it well, but I guess it's a question of, it's Lisp, essentially.
Please.
If you ask about closure and such things, the moment you have a virtual machine, it's really hard to do numerical computations well. So, you know, all those layered architectures or layered languages have big trouble with this kind of stuff. That's the main reason Fortran is still around, because they have these hacked up libraries from way back when that, you know, manipulate the bits in a way that nobody would bother to write today.
Yes. Sorry.
Fortran is not running on the JVM.
No, but Clojure runs on the Java exactly, JVM, yes. Which is, I imagine, has been the most worked on JVM.
Well, the standard classes in Java for numerical stuff are awful. You know, big decimal and those things. It's really bad. So you know, that's the big problem.
Okay, but then this brings up one other small issue about. Virtual machines being too slow and all that, and you had a slide on using GMT. There it is, JMP. Most of the programming languages, like Ruby, has an exact, and Python probably has. Doesn't that have exact math libraries? No. I know Ruby definitely has, exact precision.
So my bias. Summary would be that the clever implementers use GMP rather than writing their own. The only people who write their own have a GPL issue. It's probably an incomplete picture, but as a short summary.
Well, I also think that you always have to keep in mind that manpower is limited, so if you have a research group or something and a new PhD student comes in and they have to learn Ruby first, but they know Fortran already or something, it could be a barrier of entry if you just learn different programming languages sometimes. My feeling.
Adam. Mike.
Oh, sorry. I'm curious, in terms of similar barriers to entry, do you find, as a mathematics educator, that some people see tech as such a barrier to entry coming in?
So I don't make undergrad students use tech. And in fact, my career is a bit strange that at the undergrad level, I'm mostly teaching computer science, and my mathematics teaching is at the graduate level. And at the graduate level, they don't mind. They're invested enough in a single project that the overhead of learning tech is not so bad.
I can comment on that. So I taught psychology for quite a while, and I made undergraduates use it, and it's, for all of them, shock and awe. And about, my own sample is about 30% love it afterwards, and the others hate me.
That's usual.
In fact, I was a tech hater, I can confess, as an undergraduate. And I thought, oh my God, how can this be the right way of doing things? And well, when I was an undergraduate, confession time, the first Macs were coming out. And the question is, these things are so easy to use, and why can't we do tech that way? I think now that I've done these things for a while, I think most people in this room probably know that it's always a trade-off between a learning curve and how easy it is to use when you're an expert, right? I mean, there are things which are easy to use for experts, and there are things which are easy to get started with, and there are not so many which are both.
And as a quick start, please, do you sleep?
Mike, give him the mic.
Excuse me.
Just a brief comment so you could ease your students' life. There is LYX, L-Y-X.
Yes.
And it's really, really easy to start, but it puts you in this kind of right culture of how you compose the document and use styles and enforce proper formatting. So, and then many people just jump off or many people stay, and it's quite powerful. So for many applications, it's really, really appropriate.
Right. How is LYX maintained these days? I have vague memories that, does anybody know the LYX story?
Go now.
Well, I cannot really give you details on how LYX is updated. I know it's it works well and it's regularly maintained, but I don't know its status regarding upstream. I am trying to start my people. I mean, I am the technical guy in a social science institute. So, well, neither the professors, not even the publication department, know anything about publishing with tech or similar. And I'm starting to try to teach them with LYX. So far, I've seen their comments as, it looks okay, but interesting, but then how can I leave a larger gap or make sure that this is, you know, all those things that you're used to with a word processor. So yeah, their minds are badly shaped, but I think there is hope.
Okay, thank you.
There is a package called TechMax.
Yes.
I don't know if people are familiar. It provides like a very less barrier of entry to do anything like typesetting. And another advantage I find is like it has like you know, for example, say you are writing a document and you want to plot something, it provides an interface for like GNU plot. You can plot graphs, and then like you can call languages like Octave and like R programming language. So you can like, for example, like typeset something and then like do demonstrate like an R session, and then like generate graphs all in the same document. I personally find it like very useful. Maybe give it a try.
So thanks for that recommendation. The one question I had, I know LYX, the underlying format is tech, or at least it's easy to get tech out of it. So suppose, do you know, have you ever tried to take a document from TechMax and export it to some other tool, or how easy that is?
I mean, I used to do some maintenance work for TechMax long time back. The underlying format is actually like very similar to tech, but not exactly tech as such. But they do have like stuff like export to PDF and export to LaTeX. And you can import LaTeX classes into TechMax and do some work. Couple of years back when I tried it, like the conversions are like not so great, but when you bring up the issue on like TechMax mailing list, usually the developer responds and like maybe you can work out some customer solution or something like that.
Okay.
So, I mean, expect some rocky road.
But on the other hand, upstream is responsive and helpful.
Yes, upstream is like, I find it responsive, yeah.
Thanks.
Any more questions or comments?
Questions for Sylvester as well. I feel like I took over your session.
I got sort of like a question. How many are there of you in the math? Is there any sort of like team going on, or is it just like that math software is, you're just using basically, as a mathematician, you're just using the good stuff from the rest of the archive, and then these linear algebra or whatever symbolic stuff, which might also be used by others. So there's not really a core math package type of set, so a team isn't, well, except for Sage, maybe, apparently, needed.
So Sage, a team is needed just because it's a hard packaging problem.
What are the biggest, is it just because it's so convoluted with other stuff, or is it licensing, or what are the biggest issues?
Okay, so one, it's Python, which is either good or bad, but from a packaging point of view, apparently has some challenges. The other is it's using a huge number of dependencies, really an astonishing number of dependencies. But the killer point is that it's, so upstream embeds everything, so I'm summarizing a bit what I learned this morning. Upstream's point of view is they want it to be, the system to be usable on systems like Windows, where there's no package manager. And so they want to ship essentially binary packages, or in worst case, one big blob of source code that you can build. And they have strict version dependencies on libraries. And it's also releasing once a month. So I think those are all, I think that's all the challenges that I know about. I guess one more challenge that I do know about is that it's not just using library packages, it's using other systems. It's a kind of front-end interpreter to other interpreters. My own experience with this is that it's fragile when I've tried to do things like this.
But it would be worthwhile to package it, apparently.
According to some, it has a vibrant user community, I think. So that's why else should we package things, right? Other than, so there are people who would care more about using Sage than using Debian. So.
Did anybody follow an ISC or so? Is there any questions from there? Just wondering, because my notebook's sitting there, so I couldn't. We'll try to fix it.
Posted it yet. They just say, hi, I have a question.
Just ask. Don't ask to ask.
Yeah, no meta questions.
Bombard them with the depackage bot. So,
is there a question? Oh, sorry. Do you have a question? What was it?
Not really. Well,
do I have a comment?
I just wanted to say something about Sage, which is while the licensing issues in the package that they release for downloading on private systems probably are not an issue. There are, in fact, components on their main system, which you can use through their web, which would have licensing issues.
If the question from IRC hasn't come through yet, I could bring forward one thing that we agreed to forward.
Okay.
You talked about EDF software, Code Saturn. What is the status of Code Aster packaging?
We are currently working on it. Most of the previous version, everything is on SVN, on Subversion, on the Debian Science repository. And we are working on uploading the package. But as it is separated in small packages, we have to upload it one by one. So it is an ongoing work, and I hope we will be able to do it for Squeeze plus one, probably.
There was one item in the math buff that we thought could be discussed this afternoon, which is it's a bit of an internal question, so I don't know how many people here are actually involved with packaging in
good
science.
Thing. I forgot about that in the beginning. So who of you how many of you are scientists in a sense? Okay, and who? How many of you are like SAS admins who work because they work in a scientific department? Okay, as well. There's quite some overlap, I guess. I know. And yeah, how many of you are? What was your question?
So I guess the question is, how many people are involved with packaging scientific software for Debian?
As well. Okay. Well, Adam, you are as well, right? Yeah. A bit.
So the question on IRC this morning was, are we falling victim to the not unprecedented problem of packaging too many things and spreading our efforts too thin? And do we have too many packages which do the same job?
That's an excellent question. I think we should discuss that. I also wanted to discuss that in the round table because, yeah, I think we should make a short break and fix the setup, and then we'll get to the second talk. So in like 5 to 7 minutes.
Okay.
Thanks, David. Yes.